Welcome to the Into the Wild podcast, where we will be interviewing outdoor junkies like ourselves about their experiences in nature. We hope to use this platform to continue learning and growing as both individuals and as an organization. We hope that you will accompany us on this journey of understanding the thrill others seek in the outdoors, the incredible memories and learning opportunities that can come from safari experiences, and how the conversations we have can begin to make the outdoors a more just and equitable space for all people.
This episode, we will be talking with Alex Wells, a junior at Dartmouth College, where he studies cognitive science and human-centered design. He went to high school in Centerville, Virginia, just 40 minutes west of Washington, D.C. Alex spends as much time as he possibly can outside hiking, biking, and visiting the Moosalock Ravine Lodge. Alex has been involved with the hiking club at Dartmouth, Cabin and Trail, and is currently one of two chairs of the club. Into the Wild leaders Kate, Lauren, and myself, Jules, are so excited to welcome him virtually into the KSU office today to hear more about his experience with the Dartmouth Outing Club. To begin, can you give us and our listeners a better understanding of what the Dartmouth Outing Club is at large, and then more specifically, what the Cabin and Trail Club facilitates on campus?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you said it right there. The DOC, the Dartmouth Outing Club, is in fact large. It is one of the bigger clubs on campus. It encompasses a bunch of smaller sub clubs, some number in the 30s. Most of them are relatively smaller, doing all sorts of activities from snowboarding to hiking to paddling, whitewater, flatwater, you name it, mountain biking, really just any way that you can imagine to get outside. And there are constantly more clubs that are applying to join. So Cabin and Trail is just one of those sub clubs. We run hiking trips throughout New Hampshire and often Vermont. And we also run trips all around the country and sometimes around the world during breaks between terms. And then we also run the Dartmouth Outing Club has a number of cabins around New Hampshire. So the cabin part of the club is maintaining and then also visiting for fun overnight trips, all of those cabins. It's just a really fun opportunity to get kind of outside, but kind of inside, hanging out in some rustic accommodations with your friends.
Yeah, so how did you get involved in the Cabin and Trail clubs? Like, did you start freshman year, and what kind of outreach did the Dartmouth Outing Club have for undergraduate students?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I didn't get involved with Cabin and Trail initially. One of the first interactions that a lot of students have at Dartmouth as undergrads with the Outing Club is through the First Year Trips program, which is an opportunity for all incoming students to go on a four or five day adventure somewhere in the nearby outdoors. And that, with a group of sometimes 5 to 8 other first year students get the opportunity to really experience the outdoors, create some connection with the area, with each other, and then hop into their the rest of their orientation and then their classes. So for me, that was a wonderful introduction to the outdoors at Dartmouth. I did a climbing trip though, so my trajectory ended up going a little bit more that direction at first, towards the climbing sub club. And somewhat more recently, I stumbled into a meeting. All of the meetings are public and open to campus. We have a campus listserv that often has all of these meetings publicized. So I went to one of those, heard about some hikes, and thought, well, you know, I guess I'll try this out. I'd done a little bit of hiking before coming to Dartmouth, so figured might as well take advantage of some of the resources the college provided. There were definitely other questions there.
that's good. Yeah, we have similar, we call them adventure trips for freshmen, and we run about 5 of them, so that's cool to hear. So you mentioned that your meetings are public, so what does that look like? Because our meetings that we have consist of just the leaders of our club, so we talk about the past
trips that were led over the weekend and then upcoming trips and then any other initiatives that we're working on. So I'm curious how you engage the rest of the student body in those meetings.
Yeah, actually it might be useful to touch on a little bit of the structure of the meetings. So we have, and just the general size, we also do a lot of outreach to campus through GroupMe's. There are tons and tons all over campus for various organizations. And some of the largest GroupMe's I know of are the free food GroupMe, where whenever you see food around campus, you just send a photo and folks show up. And just scale wise, that one has somewhere around 1200 people in it. The Cabin and Trail GroupMe has somewhere around 700 students in it. So it is really, really large. One of the biggest groups that in the DOC. So there are a lot of students who are at least aware of our presence. And then messages about meetings go out there as well as to the email listserv. So we also have our weekly meetings are Monday evenings, and we invite anyone to stop by to join those. But then we also have smaller directorate meetings where we do a little bit more of the organizing. We also really try to bring folks in as leaders as much as possible. So we have a process that we call healing in Cabin and Trail, where a prospective leader does a number of requirements, including leading three hikes, doing cabin work, trail work, cabin overnight, and first aid and group dynamic seminars, well, first aid certifications. And then once they've completed all of those, then they are a leader and are allowed to lead or design trips of their own. But throughout that whole process, we really try to welcome anyone who wants to lead a trip with the DOC in and give them a chance to come up with cool ideas for hikes or cabin overnights.
Cool. So it's kind of like self-selecting. If you want to be a leader, then you can be, or do you have a further process of kind of making sure that the leaders that you have are, I don't know, like able, willing and able to lead, I guess. But it's cool that it seems pretty self-selecting. I wonder if you could touch on that though.
Yeah, absolutely. There are, so every trip has one leader, or at least one leader, who is certified. They've been through the whole process. They know what's up. Lots of experience in the outdoors with the club. They know the vibe. And then we also invite additionally other folks on those trips to serve as leaders. We are lucky enough that Dartmouth provides a lot of resources for running these trips, including gear, subsidies for food on the trips, so snacks, lunch, and transportation. We have a fleet of vans. And so organizing the logistics of all of that is something that often the healer will work with a leader, the leader for the trip, on figuring all of that out. So it's both a learning process for the person who self-selects into joining and a teaching process for the person who is currently a leader.
Whoa, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing. How many healers do you have on your team at one time?
So on any hike, we're currently trying to decide what the right number is supposed to be. Right now it's one. And one nice thing about Cabin and Trail is that we can have like one leader can fairly easily take care of a good number of participants on a trip, which usually ranges from 5 to 12. Total, including all the leaders. Some of the other sub clubs, like the Mountaineering Club that does climbing, since it's a bit more technical, they have to have fewer participants per leader. So that's just on one trip. Right now, this term, we are looking to ascend, or ascending is the process by which the healers become leaders, somewhere around 18 potential folks, and those are mostly first year students who have to wait until the end of their first year to be able to ascend. So that group has been kind of working on it this whole year, and it does include some older students who have, for whatever reason, joined the club a little bit later or not gone quite as quickly through the process, which is super cool, that folks are finding the club and deciding to get really involved, not necessarily immediately.
Cool. So it sounds like, at least from also like the website, that the Dartmouth Outing Club and specifically Cabin and Trail has a pretty big influence on students and their time at Dartmouth College. So I'm curious, you did mention a little bit about the school funding and subsidizing food and resources that you need. Do they cover all costs, or do some participants pay for the trips? What does that look like?
Yeah. In the winter of 2019, at least Cabin and Trail, and I'm pretty sure the entire club, moved to a system where all day trips are fully subsidized by the college. So prior to that, there was a nominal fee, mostly just covering food budget to go on any of these trips. But since January-ish of 2019, they've been completely free, which is really, really awesome for getting folks outside. The break trips that we run over winter break, we had, I think, 7 trips going out to various places around the country. And those participants are expected to pay a portion of the cost that is scaled based on their college assigned financial responsibility. So there's a little bit of play within that. And of course, the college is not very good at assessing how much need people actually have. So that's always frustrating. But for the most part, the outing club does a really good job of making sure that all of the trips that we run are pretty accessible financially, at least.
That's awesome. It's something that we've definitely been working on a lot, is to try to expand our reach by getting trips to be paid for by the school. And I think our school does a really great job with giving us some of those resources, but definitely still in areas is like lacking a little bit. And we are hoping to get them fully paid for, because I think that it's a really incredible way to expand our outreach. Because so many people are like, I don't even want to pay like $20 to go camping overnight. Like, someone couldn't pay me to do that. So why would I pay to do that? But when we actually have those experiences, I think that they appreciate them.
Yeah,
definitely. On that note, like, how many students at Dartmouth would you say are involved with the outing club at large? And do you feel like the reach is a significant part of campus life?
Definitely. I would say, well, not to get too much into Dartmouth stereotypes, but there's sort of a semi-prevalent feeling that you're either involved with Greek life or the Dartmouth Outing Club, and those are pretty much your options. And roughly 60% of the campus is involved in Greek life. There is definitely overlap there. It's not completely binary. There are also people who do not associate with either, which honestly makes sense. It's a fun campus. But I would say that it's also kind of tricky to define what membership in the DOC means. We used to charge for a membership while you were a student, and then you could continue that as an alumni. But we don't do that anymore, financial accessibility. But that was part of the cost of, or could be put into the cost of going on first year trips. And without that, it's kind of ambiguous. So there are so many people who just hop on a hike. I'll have to touch on Trailhead in a moment, but go on a hike and that's like their one thing that they do in a term, and or even in their whole Dartmouth career. And I like to consider that that is some level of being part of the club. As far as people who are actively attending all of the club meetings, there's probably no more than 30 people in the room most of the time. The very first meetings of the year are wild, because with Cabin and Trail, we'll sometimes have over 100 people in a room at once, which is just so exciting that people want to get outside with the club. But then I was going to jump towards trail or towards signing up if I can. Sweet. Yeah, so one of the things that has happened in the last year or really since COVID that has been so awesome for increasing the accessibility of trips with the DOC is a website that was created for the club called Trailhead. It's a platform that was made by a sort of campus organization and then spun into just a project that a few folks are working on that allows students from anywhere in the college to go to like doc.dartmouth.edu, and they can find a full listing of any of the trips that are going to be going outside in the next week or so. Often clubs, subclubs will post their trips even further out, but it's an amazing platform just because it lets people know what's happening. Before that point, it was seeing lists of trips going out in emails. You had to send an email back to the person saying, I'd really like to do this. And it was completely up to them whether or not they accepted you based on whether you were their friend or signed up first, whatever their personal feelings were. And this Trailhead app now has supervision to a degree from our staff advisors in the outdoor programs office. And it's also just super cool to see how many things are happening at any given time.
Okay, so I'm really curious to hear more about the sub clubs, because we have Into the Wild, which is our like outing club essentially, which is great. I'm biased. I think it's the best club on campus. And I do totally understand what you mean by people are either in Greek life or in like the outing club. For us, it's like you're in Greek life or you're part of one of the larger clubs on campus, I would say. Yeah. We call them CSOs, which is chartered student organization. But I'm curious about how you guys have the big kind of arm of the club and then all of the other clubs, because there are definitely, we have skate club is pretty prevalent on campus right now, climbing club, surf club, skiing club I think is a thing, but it doesn't seem super big right now. It has been in the past, but I'm curious how you interact with those smaller clubs to create this outdoor experience for all the participants that want to go on trips, or just for the student body in general.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a very different sort of organizational structure. I think Dartmouth is really interesting in that they, if anything is even vaguely outdoor related or it has any element of risk, there is a similar body that organizes just clubs in general, like from your theater troops to your debate, all that. If an activity involves any level of risk, they're like, no, thank you, can't be us. And we also have club sports, which are separate from us. And all of these create fun little funding games when it comes time to budget. But we have a directorate of all of the sub club chairs, presidents, leaders, whatever. They're called different things in every sub club. But each week there is a meeting where everyone comes together, or all of those club leaders come together to talk about what the Dartmouth Outing Club as a whole is, what our goals are, to do boring things like budgeting. And actually in a couple of hours, I'm going to be going to the directorate meeting to talk with some of the campus or advocates for the sexual abuse help that's called WISE. And they do a lot of really cool work working with survivors of sexual violence and other Title IX related inquiries. So I'm really excited for that conversation, and hopefully there will be a lot of the folks from directorate. And also the cool thing about directorate is that it is open to the entire club and all of campus. So literally anyone could walk in to this meeting and take part in that conversation.
how do you find that it is with meetings, like open meetings like that? Do you feel like it provides a really great space to have a good dialogue, or does it sometimes hinder the progress that you think that you would want to make in those meetings?
Honestly, one of the biggest struggles that we've run into with a lot of those conversations is just the number of people showing up. This particular meeting, I anticipate everyone from the directorate being there because it's like at our regularly scheduled meeting time and is just the meeting. But the Outing Club usually runs every term an inclusivity event where we have a conversation specifically about how to include people with marginalized identities in the outdoors in the things that we do at Dartmouth and beyond in the outdoors. And over the past few terms, we have noticed that attendance at those events fluctuates a lot and has been kind of on the lower end, and especially from cis white men, which honestly should not be, well, it should be surprising because they are such a large demographic with it. I should say, cis male right here, very white. So other folks who share my background just aren't showing up at these events. And it's really frustrating to see a bunch of women and people who have different identities than I do consistently doing this emotional labor and really making our club a better place. And then for that not to be as reflected by the entirety of the club. So to your question, I think that having it open and making it something that anyone can join is really great because it means that sometimes people can see the work that we are trying to do and can step in and be a part of those conversations if they think that if they want to see changes happen in the Outing Club. We are pretty receptive to that, I like to think. And we just have an interesting dynamic of like leadership being aware of things and just general population not being quite as invested in the same initiatives. The Outing Club has shown me that I have a little bit of an obsession with being outside. Don't tell any of my profs, but it's made it much harder to attend, especially when the days are prettier. Last week, I may have sent some emails to my profs asking if I could get out of class to go on a surfing trip, because I had never done that before, and I had to try it out. So,
where'd you go?
You'll be very interested to hear that New Hampshire has an entire 11 miles of coast on the Atlantic Ocean. So we went to the Hampton Beach area, which was really fun, honestly. Paddling out is kind of tricky, but otherwise loved it.
I'm from Maine, so I know the area like pretty well.
Okay. Yeah, that's so cool. Swapping places all over the place. So it's gotten me outside. Definitely has done so much for my leadership experience, abilities. Before coming to Dartmouth, I had done like little leadership things here and there because it looks great on the college application or whatever. But here I have really, really been faced with some fascinating group dynamic situations and learned so much about what it means to keep people feeling good when they are outside, whether that means hiking at a different pace than I would on my own, or just checking in with people all over the place. It's so, so special to get to just hang out with other people outdoors. And I think that Dartmouth and really the advisors in the Outdoor Programs Office do such a great job of making sure that whenever we go outside, we feel like empowered to do so and have so much fun doing it.
That's really awesome. What have been some things that you've learned through the outing club that you don't think you could have learned in the classroom?
I would say kind of playing around with fun group dynamics moments. I have also, just because like when you're studying something, you have to study something in particular, been exposed to so many different perspectives while being outdoors or hanging out with friends in the outing club. It provides another forum for discussion about truly anything, like whether it's my friends' academic interests that differ from my own, or just hanging out, having a good time. I think most recently, I've learned a new appreciation for the traditions that that the club has, and the really cool things that you can find a student from 10, 15 years ago, and they remember so many of the same fun little shenanigans that are still happening today. And those conversations are just so special and unique.
Do you have any, are there any that you can share with us? If not, that's okay. But I'm kind of curious about what you've been referring to.
Yeah. Totally. One other kind of meeting that we have somewhat frequently, actually on a usually weekly basis, except for COVID fun, our feeds, which some clubs have their feeds, which are sometimes home cooked meals or just food together. Some clubs combine their meetings and their feeds, but Cabin and Trail does theirs separately. So every week we go to a house off campus and just have a lovely meal together, and that is also open to anyone who wants to join. But kind of sort of relatedly, just last night I was at the Moose Lock Ravine Lodge, and a Dartmouth 07 is currently working there, and they are super cool. That is 15 years before my time, and in their non-lodge time, they are a math teacher. But we were just chatting and talking about what kinds of communities they were involved with, and Cabin and Trail was one of them, and just talking about ascensions and the fun little ceremony that we do to kind of celebrate the leaders who are joining the club was really special. And so knowing that there will always be those people out there in the world, especially when you're outside adventuring. Another time I was hiking in Virginia in the Shenandoah Mountains, and someone saw my Dartmouth hat and was like, I was in the outing club. And that's, it's just amazing. So.
Yeah, it's really special to be a part of a group of people who are very like-minded, super ambitious and driven, and also who share memories that you didn't necessarily have together, but you know exactly what they're talking about. I definitely felt like that. So for our leadership team, we are almost 10 years, next year will mark 10 years of our club being like an official chartered student organization, which is super exciting. Thanks. But we have an alumni retreat every year, and I'm a senior this year, so I actually got to go on it and meet a lot of the alumni and the people who founded the organization, which was amazing because it's people that I've heard a lot about, like they're like Into the Wild famous, you know. But it was cool to hear some of the stories that they had to tell, and super inspirational to hear the roots of the organization and how they originally got people involved. But I totally understand what you mean by there's always going to be people around us that have the same experiences that will probably support us in any way that we need if we run into them. But that was something super special.
Yeah, when you were saying that, I thought about, I'm a sophomore, so I didn't go on the retreat, but we did get to have a barbecue with them like the night before. And one of the like founders who got the club chartered came, and we brought them all to the office. We have a really nice office down in this building, and
we're in like the student union. Yeah. Do you have a student union?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like where we keep all of our gear and have our meetings, and we got to bring all of the past alumni down there, and we had basically, when they had started the like chartered student organization, they met in library offices and didn't even have a office to themselves. So it was really just cool and inspiring to see him like walk into the office and be like, oh my god, like you guys have gotten so far, and saw all of the gear and just how much funding and support we've gotten from the school. And I was talking about how I train the new leaders now, so I was talking about the initiation that we have upcoming this week and like an oath that we read, and one of the girls had written the oath that we still have them recite. So, and she like said it verbatim, so that was really fun to just like sit with her and talk about that, because she was the first one to like train people. So
the thing that's sticking in my mind the most right now, not really a question, is just that the Outing Club, well, right now I'm wearing a CNT centennial shirt. It's been around for a long time and has had a very, very weird history. Like for most of its existence, Dartmouth did not admit women. And just the people who have been involved with our club has really shifted a lot, especially in the last couple decades. And I think it's so cool to see your club at this alternate place where you are shifting and creating a culture kind of at the same time. It sounds like you're doing some really awesome work to think about how you can build yourself up with everyone in the picture instead of trying to do that work so much later down the road. So that's just awesome to me. And I really, really hope that this continues to be the amazing trajectory it seems like.
It's also cool to meet other people from outing clubs kind of across the country, because it seems for the most part that people that join the outing club are like very similar, kind of weird, quirky, but really fun, smart, driven, and stoked to show people outdoors. So it's been really fun getting to chat with you, because I don't know, it's cool to see our similarities and also the differences between the structures. And it's also always funny to hear each college's kind of weird nicknames for things. We all have the same things, but we all call them very different names. So thank you for navigating that really well during this conversation.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Is your gear like part of CNT, or is it like part of the school, but you guys are allowed to use it?
Yeah, good question. So there's another, hard to explain. So there's the DOC, which exists and is like all students and student run. And we have advisors who are staff, who are like needed to advise us.
How many do you have?
Advisors. Staff? So each club has an advisor or two. Cabin and Trail is massive, so we have two advisors.
Is that their only job, or do they have another job and they advise you?
They have other jobs, and okay. Most of the Okio folks have multiple clubs that they advise.
Okay.
It's like very loosely, like if you have questions, you should talk to this person.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But all of these folks work in Outdoor Programs office, which is like 10-ish grown-ups who set, well, I don't know, they just let us know what the college needs from us, or like, I don't know, they do a hell of a lot. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
I finish answering your question about gear and then ask back. So Outdoor Programs Office, they are actually the ones who have, like, they own most of the gear, and then the DOC rents it, borrows it, like,
yeah.
All sort
Wait,
of
can you tell me what the DOC is again?
Dartmouth Outing Club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So anytime, no, totally cool.
I was confused about what the, okay, I, yeah, got it.
acronyms, it's what a time. Yeah, so all of the million sub clubs, you can just borrow the gear for your trips. Anyone in the community is able to rent from Dartmouth. Oh, well, so OPO, one of the things that they do is they run Dartmouth Outdoor Rentals, and Dartmouth Outdoor Rentals, DOR, is they keep the gear. The trips can rent it for free. It used to be that anyone could rent it for some amount of money for whatever day trips they were doing. And community members still have to pay. So like if you were a professor or just some person from Hanover, you would still pay. But now students can rent any gear for free at any time. Same goes for the cabins, the Dartmouth cabins. Right. Students can just rent them literally whenever they want, go out with friends, hang out in a cabin for a night. So you all have like 5 liters, you said? Or
we have 30, about 30. 30.
I don't know where I got 5 from. That's wild.
No, yeah, we have 30 cool. right now that are consistently leaders and are, it seems like our, like what you call ascension, we call it LIT or leader in training process. It's 10
weeks. You've got that?
Sorry. Okay, cool. Yeah. So we do, it's like a 10 week, one of like Jules is our LIT trainer right now. So she trains them throughout the quarter and then they take woofer right before school starts. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then they also have to lead like an over, like yeah, do what yours
practice trips as well. So it seems pretty similar, like the layout of that. But our meetings are obviously closed to the public, but we do like other outreach stuff.
That was interesting to hear about the open meetings.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, most clubs on campus have open meetings where it's just like, hey, if you think you might be interested in photography or I don't know, journaling for science, whatever, like just show up. And the campus events listserv just has tons of stuff. Yeah, but also fascinating that everyone has to have woofer. For us, at the minimum is woofer. And most of our trips are day trips. It's mostly just the break trips that are overnights. Like we do overnights at the lodge, but that's like you're sleeping on a mattress, like had a wonderful meal. It's so bougie, it's wild.
Glamping.
But yeah. Really, yeah. Cool that you can have a fairly condensed process though for becoming a leader. For us, it like usually takes your whole first year. I was weird. I joined my freshman spring and like dove into it, did everything except I didn't have a current woofa. So I had to wait till the fall. And then COVID and, you know, ended up doing it a year and a half later with a lot of my friends who were a year below me, which then I took a gap year and am now a year below myself. So
it's cool to like be part of a program that really values those resources. I think that a lot of it honestly comes from like their liability as a school. Making sure that we have that. But yeah, I was able to take an Avi one, my Avi one this year. That was paid for the school. That was super
entirely.
Yeah. So ours are all free for leaders.
Wow.
They subsidize the whole thing. We just budgeted it in when we do our budget every year. And because they really like they care a lot about the safety of students for the most part.
Do you all have a group that focuses on risk management or like I don't know any process for that at this point?
That's a really good question. So our like Into the Wild is structured in a way that we all have positions in the organization. So we have president, two vice presidents, and then a director of execution, which is like our exec board, and then we have two people who are risk and safety managers or risk and safety coordinators, and they go through and they meet with all of the leaders before every trip, go through all of the protocols, look at any risks that could be prevalent on trips. But we have risk and safety coordinators. They fill the first aid kits for whatever we need that's specific to our trip. So I led backcountry skiing in the Sawtooth Mountain Range in Idaho for spring break, and we needed
a lot of moleskin because blisters get really bad on backcountry ski trips specifically. So yeah, and then they schedule woofer, they schedule, what else do we do? I feel like we've done other stuff.
There's like mental health first aid that we're trying to do.
Yeah. So there are some pretty robust systems in place for that. Yeah. Do you guys have anything like that?
Kind of similar-ish. It sounds like all of these are volunteer positions, right?
So we actually get stipends for our positions based on the, like, they're all tiered positions. So based on your tier, you get a certain stipend. Because we do put a lot of work in them, and they do, like, my position this year, I calculated and I spent like 30 hours a week on it. So they make it so that you can get some money because I like wasn't able to hold a job like other people. I spent more time on this, which is really nice. It's not hourly at all. This subsidy is pretty, I don't know, insignificant compared to the, whatever. That doesn't matter.
If it was hourly, we would be getting this
Yeah.
But I joined not knowing that I was
getting paid. I didn't either.
But also that's because I joined and not, I don't know. I didn't necessarily know about like the positions. Mm-hmm. Like you can be a leader and not have a position in the club as well. So you can just lead. Like the minimum requirement is like an overnight and a day hike every quarter. And then like you could also hold a position, you can also lead a spring break trip, you can also lead a freshman orientation trip. So there's other things that you can do, but like the bare minimum is just an overnight and a day trip.
Wow. So much is different. Sort of going backwards, like the first year trips, we just open those up to the student body entirely, and risk management is much worse. It's kind of crazy. I've been involved with that organization a lot too, but yeah, payment, like there. So my partner right now, she is the president of the DOC and has done like 30 hours of work a week on the club and no compensation whatsoever.
That's really frustrating. And
absolutely bananas. Like put together a conference for like inclusivity in the outdoors and all sorts of super cool stuff. And like they make resources available in interesting different ways. And then also in the outdoor rentals, that is staffed by students. Often like there's one full-time staff member, but then a bunch of students working part-time there, they do the stuffing of our first aid kits, which are not like specific to the activity we're doing. We just have like generic, very large first aid kit that we so, bring like, you out.
Probably wouldn't put in your backpack because it's too big.
We do. And it's a pain in the ass to carry the extra 8 pounds.
Wow. Also half of the stuff you probably won't use or like wouldn't need on a backpacking trip.
Have like opened them up, used the wag bag and moleskin and like maybe a band-aid, and that's pretty much it. But like it's good to have, like we have EpiPens and like really important stuff. But yeah, kind of funky how like those are paid positions and for students to like
make sure that people have
those are paid. Yeah, but it's funky though, like sort of, it's not exactly service level jobs, but like jobs that don't get you outdoors, don't get you leadership experience, like those are the ones that get paid. So like students who come from backgrounds that don't, like where you're not taught to find leadership opportunities the same way, like don't necessarily have the opportunity financially to get outside in the same way. So yeah, I like your model a bit more, to be honest.
Yeah, it's nice. We're really lucky to have it like that. It made holding a big position definitely more feasible for me, at least. And I know a lot of other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's cool to hear about an outing club that is so much older and like really does have that history, because I think at the same time, like regardless of when you started, we're all kind of coming from this place of like the outdoor space as being super elitist, like very, very white. So regardless of like how old the outing club is, we all are coming from roots, especially. I think it seems like you as well, like are coming from families who did these things, which I'm really grateful to have had those experiences. Yeah. But acknowledging that and coming to terms with all of that in college is important and challenging regardless of how old your organization is.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really cool. Just more thoughts on the changing of the club. There's in along the same time that Trailhead came into existence, a new sort of sub club-ish thing. The division or diversity, inclusion, justice, and equity division of the DOC, we call it DIJ, got started, and they are the ones who run the inclusivity events each term and just organize a lot of really, really cool work to look at historically how we have run and how we can do a lot better. That's entirely run by the students, which is cool. It's also another space that is super, super like full of women and non-binary people, which is incredibly frustrating to me. And then the other sort of small committee thing that was bumping around in my mind is we have a risk management committee, which is like 20 students who look at proposals for trips and read through them. And then we also have like a risk management team of some higher level that includes people from like the local search and rescue teams, as well as lawyers and all the people who are balancing what we're allowed to do. And so the big folks meet termly, I think, and then the students meet weekly. But just an interesting setup for risk.
Yeah, that is interesting. It does seem like, I think because our organization is so much newer, it's been structured like pretty efficiently, but it seems like yours, since it is older, has just kind of accumulated new things that are super useful, but like maybe not the most efficient way to do them is what I'm gathering.
Thank you all so much for reaching out. Like, it's so cool to hear it, how you all are doing things.
Yeah, same. Same to you.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it was really nice to meet you virtually, and I wish you the best of luck with the year.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, Alex.
Bye, Alex.
Thank you all for listening. We can't wait to continue bringing you more content. Stay tuned for our next episode that will be announced in our weekly emails. Until then, get up, get out, and get wild.